Look, if you're thinking about starting a cash practice, or you just started one and you're making less than $5,000 a month, you need to take a serious look at the Gym PT Blueprint. I put this course together for you. The PT is trying to do his own thing, that doesn't want to have to work for somebody else seeing 30 people a day and hating their job. And I did this so that you can skip all that time and wasted energy and money that it takes to learn things the hard way and follow a proven system that has helped over 100 cash practice owners start, run, and grow successful practices in the last 9 months alone. Guys, this is something that can significantly help your business. It's just up to you to decide if you're willing to invest in yourself. Head over to drdannymatei.com, go to the products, and check out the Gym PT Blueprint right there. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's going on, guys? Doc Dan here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and we have Christine Walker on with us today, website guru, knower of all SEO, website topics. Is going to be great. I get a lot of questions about websites. I've now had three or four people tell me multiple times that I need to talk to you on the podcast. So you're doing something right. I've really enjoyed learning your stuff. It's PT Secrets, websitesecrets.com, correct?
Yes, you got Perfect. It.
And it's cool. It makes a lot of sense when you're like, what the hell do I do with my website? Oh, cool. Here's a great story of what you can do. So first of all, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast with me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. And hey, we can go over the SEO question if we need to.
I hate SEO. I just had, I don't like to talk about it because it makes me want to fall asleep. But I just, had a mastermind client of mine that we were talking about SEO for probably 30 minutes. And we could get into some of that stuff. You know, it's the websites in general, I think are a bit challenging, right? Like it's the representation of your company in a digital sense when you can say nothing back to somebody. So you basically have what they call it, like the, zero dark 30 moment. Like they hit your website, they have like a second and then they're gone if they don't like what they see. Right.
You got it.
So before we get into nuts and bolts of all this stuff, you have a pretty interesting story and you have kiddos like me. So, you know, respect for that because it makes stuff harder and more enjoyable. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not bad.
Yeah, I got you. You might hear mine in the background here, but
they're cool sometimes. But so give us your origin story. So how'd you get into websites?
Yeah, well, it definitely wasn't on purpose. So that's the funny part, right? How did Cash PT then become the PT website? Somebody's called me Wizard once, which my husband then told me I was more of a witch, but you know.
Well, you would be technically via Harry Potter standards.
I do.
You're not a wizard.
You know, I'm a witch. So yeah. We're
not
just
in a bad way.
We're just going to have to roll with that. Yeah. So, but yeah, the question is how did I get here, right? So I started my cash practice. This journey definitely starts even way before me becoming the website guru, right? Like with me on my first clinical rotation, becoming completely disillusioned with physical therapy. I basically saw in my first clinical rotation that physical therapy could be delivered in a different way than it was in most places. And you didn't have to double, triple book to still make a profit, and that you could actually be all about the patient experience and still win, even in an insurance-based clinic, which was really eye-opening to me. And basically realized I never could work in a mill again because somebody had proven you didn't have to have a mill to be successful. And so that pretty much changed the trajectory of my physical therapy career. And that's where I met one of our mutual friends, Eve. So he actually filled in for my CI one day.
Really?
While he was out of town. Yes. My CI was Chris Wenders and Eve filled in. So they worked for a really unique clinic in Charleston. And so I, from there, really knew I would never take a job in a PT mill. And so, of course, after PT school, despite loving orthopedics, particularly pediatric orthopedics, that's like almost an impossible job to find. So eventually, 3 years out, I decided to start my own cash practice. It kind of found me, to be honest with you. It's not something I ever like really thought I would do. Looking back, I totally had an entrepreneurial spirit, but I didn't know it growing up. And so,
what do you mean by that? What kind of weird shit were you selling?
It was actually more what sort of weird stuff was I like getting put together. So I was a competitive club soccer player, and I like put together little mini training camps for, late elementary school age girls during the summer. So to work on like sports performance.
Nice.
And then later in high school, I actually, because you know, you sometimes get burnt out. I experimented in springboard diving of all things, and then ended up opening up a springboard diving program at our local pool, coaching young kids how to do that. So like I always had some sort of like, hey, I can go do this myself and teach other people in me. But I was always really held back by like, oh my gosh, is the IRS going to come knocking on my door? You know, like how does
you were thinking about that at like 17?
Yeah. You know, I'm like, how do I grow things with, you know, I'm going to break a rule and not know it. And
I like
anyway,
it.
Letting a little life anxiety creep in there, right? And hold me back. So it didn't happen until after the birth of my daughter, and I pretty much had a complete, like, I guess you could say mental breakdown. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. I suffered really badly with postpartum OCD, and I couldn't go back to work. Like, I just could not go back to work, and I was like, I've got to do something else. I've got to change this career. Like, I just don't like this career and this life I've built for me and my family. Recovering through that, I basically came out and dealt with a lot of those fears that kept me from starting businesses before, which was really cool. And so all of a sudden I was like, I'm going to go do this. Like, and before I knew it, you know, I'm kind of thinking about it. I'm exploring the idea. I'm reading stories about other people who've done it, who've done Kosh PT. And I was kind of inspired, like, well, darn it, if they can do it, like, I can do this too. Right. And then all of a sudden I had a patient who wanted to work with me all summer. And I was like, well, crap, I better make this thing legit, right? So that's how I started my cash practice. Now, I got pregnant again on purpose. But, you know. And a few years later, so I started my cash practice and was doing that. And, but, you know, the one funny thing I found that whole year, so I built my own website, right? Like, I'm thinking, okay, have a business. I got to have a website. Otherwise you don't exist on the internet, right? Like if you don't exist on the internet, you don't exist in real life. That's how it is these days. At least people think that way, right? So I spent hours, weeks, spent all this time trying to drag and drop and build like the perfect website, right? Like I looked at other people's websites thinking, well, they must know what they're doing, right? Their clinic's full. So that must mean they have their websites, right? Making all these assumptions and pretty much picked and chose from the things I liked on the websites and threw them all on mine and made it look as awesome and professional as possible, right? Published it. I was really proud of it. Sent, you know, that email out to all your friends and family. Everybody's like, ah, it's amazing. And then 1 year later, I still had zero calls for my website.
Dang.
And so I kind of realized something was wrong, right? Like my website looked really good. It looked like everybody else is in town. Why wasn't it working? Why was I still having to, you know, depend on word of mouth referrals or hoping that, you know, those fitness professionals I networked with were going to send me another patient or the next gymnast to get injured in the gym I worked at? You know, you're just kind of like waiting around, right? You had no control over your patient flow. So I realized that was a problem because I was pregnant again and I was going to basically take some time off and start my practice over from scratch. And I'm thinking, crap, like, how am I going to do this? Right? Like I'm at home with a baby that just doesn't leave a lot of time to hustle and get those referrals, et cetera. Right. So I knew I needed help and I started learning then, about direct response marketing, about lead generation, about direct to consumer marketing. And basically one of the biggest things I realized was my website was completely wrong from those standpoints. And, you know, I took, Paul Goff's accelerator method and started learning all of those marketing techniques. And that was really a big turning point for me. I mean, just understanding human behavior and conversations even, and then how that flows into the marketing as well. So basically, I was stuck at home on, you know, activity restrictions, bed rest with my second child. I had the same problem with my first. And I had all this time, right? Like, I couldn't do a lot of activity, but I had all this time. So I started diving into this website stuff because I realized I couldn't afford to hire somebody on my own. Like, I wasn't making any income, you know, because I couldn't work. So I spent my months, you know, resting to get my son here safely and learning this stuff. I figured that was a good way to invest my time. Little did I know, I was doing it for my own benefit. I didn't know that like a year or two later, I'd be helping other people in the same way. So it's cool how things happen for a reason. But I basically redid my entire website, like from the ground up, like scrapped it and rebuilt it. And lo and behold, within weeks even, people started calling, people started opting in, things started happening, and all of a sudden I had more deal flow again when I came back for my son. And from there, just being involved in different physical therapy groups, I had people be like, hey, you know, Christine did her own website, you should talk to Christine. So all these people start asking me for advice and for questions. And basically, because I'd figured out how to hack and do it on my own, even though I'm not a web developer, I'm not a coder. Like, I mean, I've learned a little bit of coding since then, but no, I mean, like, do not ask me to do that. I basically hacked a way to do it and applied all of these marketing principles so that you could do it even if you weren't, you know, a website developer or a coder. And so then I created PT Website Secrets purely out of people asking me for help. It kind of hit me one day. I woke up and I was like, wait a second. I'm getting all these people emailing me, calling me, texting me, wanting help with their websites. Maybe that's what I need to give them. Maybe that's how I can give back to the profession. Because truly, think of all the amazing therapists you know out there, right? Like, yeah, we're struggling to get people in their clinic just because simple things. People don't know they need physical therapy. They don't know that physical therapy can help. And your website, it's that extension of you that's working right for you 24/7. And if you can get that right, then you can help more people and get more people in the door. And I figure if I can help you get your website right, then we're going to help impact so many more people as well. So it's really cool. The ripple effect of getting to do this, I found very rewarding and exciting. You know, nothing makes me more happy than got a client the other week who just launched, we just launched his new website. He'd been with one of those, we shall not name big website companies that advertised a physical therapist as, you know, being, for physical therapy and blah, 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 and marketing, et cetera. And we launched his new website and he was like, holy crap, I got 10 new patients in the first week.
That's pretty, you know, cool.
Now, and he's like, I think that was worth my investment.
Do you think that is because of lack of traffic to the site or lack of proper message on the site?
That was a messaging issue. So okay, of course, you bring up a good point. People are going to have different problems. But I'm going to be honest, 99% of physical therapy websites have a messaging issue. They may also have a traffic issue, but they may not. Does that make sense? So like,
oh, totally.
You know, when I was a brand new website, of course, I wasn't, you know, you build a hotel in the middle of the desert and don't tell anyone it's out there. Like, you're not going to get any visitors. So sure. There is such thing as a traffic issue. But the problem is a lot of people worry about fixing the traffic issue before they actually fix their website. And then they waste a lot of money getting traffic to their website. And then they don't capture or get any return on that traffic investment.
Well, so it's like a leaky funnel, right? I mean, we talk about this with marketing. If you're going to drive a bunch of leads and you don't have any conversion system in place, you're going to waste money because there's no acquisition of that person. So when you talk about people with websites now, okay, at this point, you have a cash practice, you're building websites for people, and you have a course on how to build websites, correct? Okay. What percent are you spending on your practice now versus your other business?
A lot less. I mean, a lot less, but that's kind of awesome because as you know, from diversifying income, it allows me to be even more picky and get even more of the clientele that I want to work with when it comes to actual patient care, which is awesome.
Yeah. So, are you planning on staying in the cash setting? This is actually an interesting anomaly that I've seen happen quite a bit actually recently from people having other options and whether it be hire somebody to take over their their clinic, they sell their clinic, or right. they decide, you know what, I'm just going to shut it down and focus on this other thing that sort of came out organically. You know,
right.
You're sort of in that stage where you have to decide on what you want to do next.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, who knows? Don't hold me to it. In a year, I might change my mind. I didn't think I would be doing this time last year either. True. So, you know, it's funny, but I do feel like I have been called to really help other therapists in this way. And it's been so cool to see that happen. And I think what I'm going to do right now, my current plan with my clinic is to specialize it even more to the gymnast. Right now it's more targeted towards active adults and athletes, and I'll probably just start to niche it down even more, which is not something I would probably do if I was trying to fill 40 spots a week. Right. But right. because I'm filling less spots, I can become more of an even more of a niche practice and really target, that super unique population that I'm really good at. And, there just aren't that many therapists who are specialists in. So,
yeah, it's super niche. And, you know, I think the other thing is challenging is, you know, it's hard enough to be good at one thing, and we go to school for so long to learn how to be good physical therapists, and all this continued education work to learn how to work well with the niche that we want to focus on. And once you hit a certain point where your time and your effort is split between multiple things, it starts to become kind of challenging in terms of, can you really maintain your expert level at this one area and try to grow in another one? And taking those hats on and off is also very mentally fatiguing, you know? So it's fascinating because I'm in a very similar boat as you in terms of, you know, education, for business education. And, it's funny because I do see other people like you and I in that position. And, we spend less and less time on our cash practice, which we spent so much goddamn time building up, you know, and this is where I think, you know, if you're listening to this, and it's what's so nice about a cash practice, and this is what, you know, something that I think is just highly underrated, is it gives you time and it gives you opportunities to really start to figure out where you maybe have skills in other areas, because when you jump into business, you have to figure out a lot of stuff on your own. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you hadn't done that, if you hadn't gone into practice for yourself, you never would have known that you hadn't had this knack for websites.
Right. No, I mean, other than being the crazy multitasking, multi-tab, you know, back in the day, AIM could carry on 16 conversations at one time, right? Like that's the extent.
AIM.
I know.
There's people on here. They're not going to know what you're talking about.
Which is hysterical.
Well, they just won't. That was a big deal, man. That was my thing. I would have, hey, when in high school, middle school.
Yes, that was all we did.
You were trying to find out, you know, a girl's AIM. What's your screen name?
What's your screen name? Right? So that was like the extent of my tech savviness right there. So, but yeah, it's funny. Like I've always just loved kind of figuring out these problems, right? And the websites is just another way of doing that. And really the messaging, the positioning, and like I said, really the power to feel like I'm helping even more people than I can fit in my clinic schedule each week is really cool.
Well, and it looks like your platform is on a pretty simple platform, which is Weebly.
Yeah.
Throwback story. I built our clinic's website, the one we still currently use, while I was still in the Army. I would do it like if a patient didn't show up. We actually had really high no-show rates because it's socialized medicine, so they don't have to come and it's free. But then I would have these, you know, I would have hour-long lunch break. I haven't had an hour-long lunch break in a very long time where I wasn't working through it. But in the government, it's a lunch break. So right. I built it over the first couple of months as I was transitioning out. It's a pretty intuitive little platform. I don't even know why I chose it, to be honest with you. And you know, I get people all the time and they ask me, they're like, oh man, shouldn't you get like a custom built website? I had somebody quote me $20,000 for a custom built website one time. And I was like, holy crap, man, what's that going to do? You know what I mean? And they were showing me all these analytics and stuff. And, you know, and I talked to him, I was like, look, you know, we're getting like 35 to 40 new patients a month on this little website. Like, what are you saying it's going to happen if I go with you? Like 80? I can't tolerate that. You know what I mean? Like, And I couldn't really understand what the difference was. All I knew was they said $20,000 and I instantly balked. So do you think the platform matters that much?
No, actually, and I've got a blog post about this. I'm going to be honest. You can be successful on any platform. The platform is not going to determine whether or not you're successful with your PT website. Like, and even if somebody goes to your website or my website right now, and what they're going to see is literally just the tip of the iceberg of why it works.
Yeah.
Like what's out there. And that's why, I mean, I've had people say like, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to copy so-and-so's site or whatever, and then it not work for them the same way, because what you're seeing on the surface is like the beginning, right? Like in the platform where it just does not matter what the platform is. What matters is all the strategy and the thought that's gone behind what you're seeing on there. And that's what people don't fully understand, right? Is that I could build my successful website on Weebly, on Wix. I would never dare do it on WordPress, just because let's talk about the monster that is. And, you know, there's no point anymore. 15 years ago, it was a different story. You just don't have to be on there to be successful anymore. You know, you can build them on any of them. That's not why they work, right? So really, you just need to build one on whatever's most comfortable for you. I teach Weebly because, I mean, I've built on almost all the drag and drop ones out there. I think, you know, I've vetted it in the sense of it allows you to do what you need to do. It doesn't allow you to do too much to the point where you get sucked down the rabbit hole of making changes that aren't going to make a difference in how many patients you get each month, which I think a lot of us have the tendency to try to make changes. I'm going to specifically call out design changes that don't need to be done. If anything, they might be actually hurting your website. And then on top of that, like, it allows you to integrate with outside platforms, which are things you're going to need if you're going to make truly a lead generating patient,
right?
You know, generating site. So it just checks all the boxes for me, which is why I build on Weebly. So.
Yeah, it was easy to use. And I have no experience building websites, and it probably looks like crap for all I know. But it works.
That's the thing. Who cares? And that's the other thing people can't get over, right? Because you see, like, I laugh. I get targeted, obviously, on ads with website crap all the time, because that's what I'm doing online, right?
Yeah.
So I laugh every time I see some of the drag and drop builders. Some of them that I like them, like I like them as platforms, but their advertisements, their marketing is basically that, oh, you need it to look this pretty picture,
or right.
Like, and that will make it successful is essentially what they're implying. And it's not true. Like, it's just not true. So, I do not care what other physical therapists think of my website. I don't care what you think. What I care is, does my perfect patient respond to it? Does it grow my business? That's all I care about. I don't care if people think it looks ugly. If right. It works, right?
No, totally. You know, I mean, I think that's like anything with content as well. What's to say nothing good happens in the middle. You have to take a stance, right? Like, you know, okay, we work with these people,
right?
Which is going to deter certain people, but will highly attract others. And that's what, in a niche practice, like, that's what we want. We can't go for this big volume where we're trying to see 1,000 patient visits a month. You know, and maybe you could grow to that point, but it's not going to happen like having these huge hospital-based contracts, you know? So I think that's really important. Now, you talk about these platforms not really mattering so much, but it seems like the message matters more than anything. What are some common like mistakes that you see people make, and maybe some easy, you know, advice or fixes that you recommend frequently for people for their website?
Sure. So one of the biggest ones is what you just called out right now, which is that people try to do it all, right? And especially if we're talking down to like niche cash practices, that is pretty much a death sentence to yourself. And the way I like to think of it is, you know, the opera singer doesn't also try to appeal to country music fans, right? Like, the opera singer doesn't, or the country music singer doesn't care that you don't, you know, they're a country music singer, right? Like, so what if you don't like country music? That's fine. There are plenty of people who do. And the problem is we try to be all of them. We try to be, you know, Bruce Springsteen and the opera singer and, you know, I don't know, who's the hottest country singer right now? I'm so not up to date on things.
I have no idea.
I have no idea either. But we try to be it all. Right? Like, and that's what we're taught in school, basically. So it's hard to break out of this mentality. But the biggest problem people are making on their website is they're really trying to appeal to everybody. And the problem is, on the internet, nobody is going to be attracted to you if you try to attract everybody, right? Like, if you try to do it all, you basically attract no one. Because these days, everybody wants like the specialist, right? Nobody wants to go see the generalist. They want to go see the specialist. They want to go see the people who have seen stuff just like what they have so that they can be assured that you can help. And so that's really the biggest mistake I see, is the messaging on the websites are way too broad, right? They don't call out their people. If your website is not ruling people out, then it's not working. Like, it's just not. You could be doing more. Like, if somebody goes, if they can't, they need to be able to find themselves there or realize that you're also not the place for them, okay? Because that's how you create raving fans, right? You don't do it by making everybody like you. So that's the biggest mistake I see, and usually the first problem we have to address with people is, and the scary part is, most business owners seriously have no idea who they serve. Like, they really don't, and their website's a reflection of that, right? Like, they're like, well, I can do everything. It's like, well, I know you can. I can do everything too, but you don't see me saying that on my website, right? Because, for example, my website used to be much more generic, and it would kind of attract everything from like some chronic pain folks to maybe the occasional athlete. And I just changed the messaging a bit. And all of a sudden, now all I get are CrossFitters, yoga people, runners, right? Like, that's all I get. That's all I want too. So it works out really well. But it's just by altering a simple message. The other thing, big thing I really encourage people to think about is, what do they see first? Okay. And you mentioned this before, because a lot of people, they make the mistake of assuming people are actually going to scroll and click around your website. Guys, look at your own behavior. You don't do it either, right? Like, we're so distractible. We move around. You know, the next Facebook notification pops up and we totally forget what we were doing and have moved on, right? Like, people are not going to move around and click on your website unless they really feel compelled and drawn in. So in those first few seconds, you've got to have stuff on there that really calls them out as your people. And so those are, you know, those are the big things that I really look at and quickly see, and the biggest changes people can make to start seeing an impact and a difference.
The messaging is so tough too. I mean, like, not the copywriting side of it can be really challenging, and being able to really identify your ideal customer is something that I think takes a little bit of time in your business to really figure out. Like, there's this concept of, you know, your best payday and your best customer, right? So your best payday would be, what service are you structuring to where it's the best return on investment for you, or return on your time? But also the core service that probably is going to drive the business to grow more than anything. The best customer, your ideal customer, is going to be the ideal person that's going to purchase that core offer. And you need to be really able to distill down exactly who they are, their behavior traits, and all of that. It is very hard to do. I mean, you know, and it changes. I would say, started, you know, I went to Atlanta with the intentions of being the guy to go to for CrossFit athletes, because I was working for CrossFit at the time. I had no intentions of wanting to work with anybody besides that. I had an office in a CrossFit gym, and you know, I probably could have stayed at that, but for us to be able to scale to four PTs, we had to be able to adjust and have other niches within that. But the messaging has changed as well, because I don't just want to see 25-year-old butthead, you know, male CrossFitters that are trying to snatch 5 pounds more and keep getting mad because they're plateaued. I would prefer to work with people that, you know, we can have more of a long-term relationship with, which generates a lot of stability within our business. So our messaging has changed dramatically. So, you know, for somebody that's trying to figure out, you know, who that customer is, do you have any recommendations for, like, you know, some simple options or exercises for them to be able to actually distill out what that might look like?
Yeah. So you bring up a really good point, which that it's not always as simple as like who you think you want to work with.
Right.
So when we say like ideal customer or ideal patient, we're not necessarily referring to your favorite type of patient. Because really what it comes down to is, what are your business goals and where are you trying to go? And I think a lot of people get surprised when they take my course that that's actually where the course starts. The course starts with you thinking through that, right? Like, you really need to know what's the purpose of your business and what's the purpose of your website, right? And if you don't know those things, then it's hard to pick that ideal customer, right? So, you know, you could have kept working with just CrossFit athletes. And if that had been like, if that was your main priority, was like you just really wanted to work with CrossFit athletes, you could have stayed in that niche, right? But for you, you really wanted to grow and scale and hire, and you knew you weren't going to have enough deal flow in that niche, right? So it's the same thing with thinking through this. The first thing is you got to know where your business wants to go. Like, you know, are you doing this? Like right now, where do I want my business to go? Actually, I'm not going to keep, I'm going to niche down instead of hiring, right? Like, so instead of growing and hiring, I'm going to just niche down further and keep it as a very boutique, like helping gymnast sort of practice. Because now that I have other businesses running, it doesn't need to be my main focus. And that's, I still like seeing gymnasts on the side. Like I truly get joy from that and want to keep doing it. Right. So that's why I'm choosing to go that direction. And eventually you'll see my website start to evolve into that too. And whereas if I was trying to make the decision of, okay, I actually want to keep growing that business so that I can hire someone under me so that it's operating, then I wouldn't go that direction, right? Like I would stay more broad, stay with my current population, which I could grow more easily, which is essentially what you decided to do, grow more broad and help, it, not necessarily, maybe broad's not the right word, but open up to different sub niches exactly so that, you know, you can get to the point where you have deal flow to employ four people or whatever. So I think the biggest thing is before you really get into the ideal patient is thinking through one, what's the goal of the business in the long term, right? Is it to grow and scale? Is it just because you want to do it on the side for fun to see this certain type of client? Like, you know, there's so many different, there's so many different options there. And then it's looking really at then, okay, who, what would the people I like working with fit that? Will they be, allow me to get where I want to go? Like, are there enough of them, right? Like, there are not enough gymnasts for me to fill my entire schedule with gymnasts during a week. So that's why originally I didn't go that route. So if there aren't enough of them, then you have to consider your goals, go back and consider your goals again. Like, is that really where I want to go or not? And so it's, that's really the part that I think a lot of people skip. They start getting into, well, I really like working with this person, but they don't consider the long-term implications of it as well. So I think before going down, thinking about your ideal client, first really going through, whether it's with a business coach or somebody, like what are you trying to do? Like really with this business?
That makes total sense. You know, and we chatted a little bit about, do you have a messaging problem on your website or do you have a traffic problem? Mm-hmm. What's some of your recommendations for people that do have a traffic problem? Is it SEO? Is it clean that up first and then go the paid route? You know, what do you see as the most effective way for people to get traffic to a website that is now has the right messaging?
Sure. Well, let's just put it this way. Any of the traffic methods done wrong will cost you a lot of money.
Sure.
So the thing is, I'm not a huge fan of SEO. I've built all the traffic to my website pretty much without it, like entirely without it. Now, let me clarify what I say. Most people have no idea what SEO is to begin with. They don't really understand what that means. So SEO just stands for search engine optimization. It basically means where do you show up on the rankings, particularly Google, because everybody's on Google these days. Google is really the main ranking you care about. Where do you show up on the rankings without paying for ads? That's basically all it means. And there's so many factors on what determines that, not to mention Google's changing them all the time and doesn't really tell us what they are, that it's a little bit of a shot in the dark, okay? And it's one of those things that also takes a significant amount of time. Even if you went and hired an SEO company, which would probably cost you about $500 a month, the chances of you getting on page one, it would probably take you 6 to 8 months of paying them before you're going to even show up on page one, okay? So my website's optimized for SEO in the sense of like, it's built in the ways that we know the search engine like right now, but that's about the best we can guarantee. But I've not done any of the crap, like I'm going to spew out words nobody knows, like backlinks and all that stuff, okay? Because the truth is it takes a long time to work and it's really unpredictable. It doesn't guarantee that you're actually going to show up higher. There is the way to show up higher, and you can do it by tomorrow, and that's called Google AdWords. Yep. So Google's a business, and guess what? They figured out, oh, well, you could do SEO, or we can make you pay us to just show up. So what do you think they did? And, you know, I've heard people be like, oh, well, people don't click on ads. That's completely, entirely untrue. People do click on ads, and that's why Google's business, 95% of it is supported by their Google AdWords, because it works. So the basic thing is, you, if Google AdWords done right, set up with the right keywords to the right website, can be extraordinarily effective even at under $500 a month for generating leads, right? I've seen it very effective even at like the $300 a month level. So that is by far a great way to get traffic compared to SEO. It basically gets you the same result, gets it quicker, way quicker. Like I said, we could all rank there tomorrow if we wanted, for the things we want, if we're willing to spend the right amount of money, depending on what you're trying to rank for. Now, there's so much we could go and do with strategy and stuff, but it is totally possible. I've seen hundreds of PTs do it with Google AdWords and spend less money than they would have on SEO. So I really am not a huge SEO fan. Even some of the biggest people in the industry right now aren't doing SEO. They're doing Google AdWords.
Well, so, if you look at AdWords, so I mean, you bring up a good point, right? It's the same people. You pay for it either way. With Google AdWords, what's your typical strategy for driving somebody that's cold traffic predominantly, I would say? So they don't really know who you are. They're just searching for something in particular in their area. And let's say they're searching for, I don't know, back pain.
Right. So there's two strategies, really. Yeah. You can either do the people who are searching for physical therapy. Well, I recommend you do both, but physical therapy, or the people searching for problems like back pain,
right
in your area. And so you basically would want two campaigns running with both of those strategies going, right? Because you want to capture the people who are looking for physical therapy. They're much warmer leads. They're actively searching for a place. You want to send them to a place where they can start to gather more information, that you can get their information. Right. Then we have the people who are just searching for like back pain tips, et cetera. So those are being sent to a completely different page on your website, right? They wouldn't be sent to the same place because they're not in the same part of the decision-making process. They're still in the needing to gather information. So really, that's why you have to have the website set up on the back end. Because if you go drive traffic now, but you don't have a back pain page set up that can take people's opt-in information, the sales copy's written to encourage opt-ins and to give a free offer and et cetera, then there's really no point in wasting your money doing it until you have that pretty much nailed. So those are really the two strategies when it comes to Google AdWords. Now, there's plenty of other ways to do traffic, paid and unpaid. Really, one of the best things new websites can do is just get out content on blogs and share it as much as they can organically. Doing a lot of social media stuff, that's a great way. It's free. It's time consuming, but it's free, right? It starts to at least generate and get your stuff out there and get it crawled by the internet, get the internet knowing you exist. Facebook ads are super effective these days for building audiences and then using them, retargeting them with offers. Those don't always directly land on your website. We could, get into a lot of strategy on that, but still, basically it's retargeting them to your brand online. So there are so many different ways to solve the traffic problem. But what I look at it is, I want to help people have the foundation right so that their website is ready, so that then they're like, crap, now I need more people to come to it. It's like, if I've gotten you there, then we've made a huge step, right? It's like every time you fix one problem, right, you're going to get another. So we're going to fix your website, and then your next problem is going to be traffic, right? Yeah. And then, as you know, people are going to start getting all those calls, and they're going to be like, crap, I'm not very good at converting these calls. Now I have a conversion problem. And then it's going to be, oh, I got them to come into one visit, but I can't seem to get them to come in for eight. So now I've got like a long, right? So it's like, that's the evolution of the business owner. So it's each step at a time, and really it's hard. I mean, I know a lot of people out there are probably thinking, dang, like it's hard to stay focused on that one step and get that one step right. We want to try to do them all at once. And that's just not the way that you're going to get to success fastest.
So when you, with your website, when you're looking at actual, okay, yeah, is this, I guess conversions are one thing to look at, but are there any analytics that you're looking at in terms of the websites that you build? You want to see, you know, certain metrics that are, you know, in certain ranges?
Not particularly, because it's all so dependent on their situation. Like I said, is it a brand new website? Is it an established website? You know, if it's an established one, we're comparing before and after, right? Like we're looking at what's happening before and after, but so that we know what the changes have been. A lot of those are conversion changes. And there aren't like specific ranges per se. It's just that in my head, it's always, all right, let's see what the market tells us and can we make this better, right? So, you know, can we change some wording and make these numbers go up, right? So we'd use the analytics to really look at, do we have a traffic problem? Do we have a conversion problem? Because with the analytics, you can, and if you have things set up properly with, you know, landing page softwares, et cetera, all integrated, then you'll know, like, are people even landing on my, you know, opt-in pages or not? Maybe they're landing there, but they're not converting. So I've got a messaging problem on the landing page versus, you know, are they just not even getting to that part? So why aren't they getting there, right? So using all of them to mostly problem solve and to know where the improvements need to be made on the website. So there's aren't like certain, you know, even something like bounce rate. I mean, here's the funny thing, guys, you know, people can get obsessed over bounce rate, which is, how many people like get on your website and then leave. And I mean, I see mine vary just all the time. And, and the truth is like that happens now because I got so many people going to visit my website now that I'm like the website guru. Right. And so, so like you go share your website on Facebook, like you're going to go get some wonky stats. Because you're going to have a lot of PTs checking it out and you're not going to get opt-ins from those people, or you might get some, but they're not, you know, in your area. You have to really, the hardest thing is people try something and then are like, oh, well, that didn't work. But they don't really look at like why stuff didn't work. And that's, like I said, it's the tip of the iceberg, what we're, you and I are able to like share and talk about today, right?
Right.
And really it's all the stuff underneath. So it's not that it doesn't work. It's just, okay, we're going to do our best bet with your website to position it and write that copy as best we can. And then we're going to go get traffic to it and see, how do people respond? And then we're going to know if it's working or not, right? Because once again, it doesn't matter what you and I think. It matters what that ideal customer we're targeting thinks. And then we're going to make changes if they're not responding the way we want them to.
Well, you're now a multifaceted entrepreneur and you have a digital business and you have a brick and mortar business. Which one do you like the most?
Ah, you would. Why do you ask that? No.
I want to know.
I love it. It's, I mean, most people that hear me start talking about websites, they see why I love it so much. Like I've just really gotten into doing this and love helping other people in this way. And so I guess it's fair to say that I'm really into now the online businesses and just enjoying the challenge and the fun parts of that. But as you can tell, I'm not ready to give up seeing my patients, particularly my gymnasts. So in my ideal, world, I still keep a few of them each week.
Well, here's what I, the way I look at it, cause I'm in a similar boat, but it's so much more enjoyable to go and work with patients when you have, you literally don't have to, you're doing it because you want to.
Right.
And you really are working with the people that you like to work with the most.
Exactly.
But I just don't think if you decide to go to physical therapy school, you're obviously interested in like helping people, and that requires being in person with them for the most part. And that interaction is like just so personally rewarding that I feel like I would have a hard time giving up too. Hey, we spent 7 years to get our freaking degree. And how many Con Ed courses have we been to? So many, right? Like it's just cool to get that interaction. And I have cool patients, man. I love just listening to them talk to me about whatever they've got going on or, you know, I don't know. I have a lot of business owner patients for some reason, and I'm constantly catching up with them on like how their business is going. And one guy just sold his business, and we talked for like 30 minutes about his acquisition process, and it's like an hour long visit. And then we didn't do anything. We literally just sat there and talked about his acquisition, and he was like, yeah, my ankle's kind of bugging me. Should we check it out? I was like, yeah, dude, let's do it. I'm like, let's do it. It's That's great. Funny. Now, so I always want to know, because I feel like, you know, I don't know. It's tough. I feel like I totally see why you would have a hard time giving that up.
Yeah. But I mean, like you said, the beauty of it is I can niche it down to exactly what I want now, and I can really enjoy that. And because I've got the freedom with my other businesses doing so well. So I've always been one for diversity. I guess that's why I surprised myself when pediatric acute care I found really fun, because it's like everything's so different all the time, yeah, you know? Sure. Like I've always just been one that loves a little bit of variety. So I guess it's just it's a good balance for me doing both. And of course, you know, with the family and everything, it's really nice to have that flexibility of really, you just control your own schedule. So as a mom, that's sure. about all. That was really, I mean, honestly, that was, so this will tie in. We were talking about, you know, if you need to figure out your ideal patient, right, you really need to know where you want your business to go, right? Because you can't pick an ideal patient that's not going to be able to grow the business the way you want it to grow. Well, for me, a lot of these decisions were motivated by like, hey, my kids are now 4 and 1. Like my daughter will be starting kindergarten in the next year. And I really just want to be able to work my hours around like her not having to go somewhere after school after 3 p.m., like that I could be home or pick her up from school most yep. days of the week, you know? And I was like, well, what decision is going to get me closer to that, you know? And so that's what I was like, well, diversifying and having other businesses is going to actually help me more achieve that goal. And I fell in love with the website stuff, so it just happened to be that.
Well, the family stuff is so important. You know, I one of the first podcasts we did on the business podcast, I should say, was with my, you know, friend and mentor, Kelly Charette, and talking to him about the development of his digital platform, mm-hmm. you know, mobility-wise, because he had his cash practice, he had a gym, and then just organically, the Mobility Wad platform started to take off. And that's actually really all they focus on now.
Right.
And on that podcast, if you haven't listened to it, I would definitely go and listen to it, because he talks about the decisions they make are 100% based off of how much meaningful time do they get to spend with their daughters, who yep. are, you know, one is in eighth grade and the other one's, I think, is in fifth grade. And that like, I still remember that moment where we kind of talked about it. I was like, man, what a simple way, what an elegant way to look at business decisions. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's literally what the barometer is. And, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a digital business to be able to do that. I mean, you can absolutely build a brick and mortar business, hire
people. Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
do something similar, but understanding what you want your goals to be, like, this is what's so interesting and important, I think, for people to understand is, you know, where your goals are, where my goals are, where somebody else's goals are, they may not be the same thing, but we both know what matters the most to us. And if you don't know what you want your trajectory to look like, how do you know how you're going to build that, you know, architecture to get there? So,
exactly.
you know, that's huge. And I it's just cool to see people in the physical therapy profession branching off into entrepreneurial ventures outside of practices. I think we're very risk averse group of people yeah. For the most part. Yeah. And it's for us to stick our toes in the water and like, yeah, let me see if this will work. Like it's cool to see that, you know, I'm really happy I got a chance to chat with you finally. I do, you know, want to give you an opportunity to people that are interested in learning more from you and connecting with you. Like, where's the best place for them to do that?
Sure. So my website you mentioned earlier is ptwebsitesecrets.com, and some of the content we've talked about, you can go read more about on the blog, etc. I do have an Instagram account. It's still under like my other practice name, and I honestly have been very so-so on posting on it lately, but maybe I need to pick it up. Maybe if I like, you know, give it a shout out, it'll motivate me to pick it up a little bit. I don't know.
Do you ever have times where you're just like, you know what? Fuck social media.
Yes,
like,
I do.
I do that.
Frequently.
Like I've been doing that recently. I haven't posted anything on Instagram in like 2 weeks.
Probably longer than that.
Yeah, but then I go back and I'm like, sorry, Instagram. Like I started being consistent again. But sometimes I just hate it. I just don't want people. I don't think people give a fuck about what I do day to day. I don't care about what other people do. So,
yeah. I think it's interesting. I'm you know, and then this goes back to what can people do to get traffic. Really consistent social media / engagement, email, whatever strategy is one of the best ways to keep engagement up. And yet is, I get it because I struggle with it big time. It's one of the hardest ways to just consistently do it because you don't always see the immediate impact.
Sure.
Right. So for example, I remember I finally started getting consistent at one point before I'd switched to being the website guru and was emailing my patient list more frequently. And I mean, I was just shocked how like just sending out a few emails, people would reply and want appointments, even though they were totally unrelated to whatever the email was about. Right. I'm just thinking like, golly, it was this easy, but you know, the hard part is then you'll go a month and like nobody will reply to your emails and you'll think, oh, well, it isn't working. And you'll get lulled into thinking that, but it's not true. It's just like the ebb and flow of it. And you just need to stay constantly in front of people's minds. And if you can have that consistency, you'll win. But like, it's hard to, just like it is with Instagram or social media. It's like, do people really care? Like, I don't know.
Well, the other thing you don't know is what kind of mood are they in? What interactions have they had during that time before they see that email? Have they seen something else related to you? And then all of a sudden they're like, you know what? I should contact them. And then they see like the psychology of how behavioral decisions are made. Is just like super, just like multifactorial. So yeah, you don't really know, but the more you get in front of them, the better it is. Exactly. So, okay. PTwebsitesecrets.com. And then
Instagram is drwalkerpt, Dr. Walker PT.
All right, perfect.
Let's see. People can email me if they want it, Christine@ptwebsitesecrets.com. And I do have like a Facebook page. I think it's Christine Walker's PT Website Secrets that I post like a lot of info and do some lives on as well. So if people want to check that out, I guess I should give my course a shout out. I do private website builds as well, but my course is called the PT Website Secrets Workshop. So it's just a ptwebsitesecrets.com/workshop. And it pretty much is all the strategy, copy, tech, everything you need to know to build a lead generating website. So I basically show my exact method to the madness and teach it to you if you're the type of person who's like, I really just want to do this on my own. Or if you're like me and you're like, I just really want to do it on my own and save myself some money, not pay that 20 grand to that custom web developer, right?
So I'll tell you that.
I've seen quotes. I've seen the most amazing quotes. It makes me think my course is priced way too low.
Well, it made me think I don't charge people enough for physical therapy because I was like, this is bullshit. If that guy had back pain, I'll charge him $20,000 to feel better.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so funny the perspective you get. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, it's been fun to just be able to share that with the physical therapy community and see the impact and see people getting more stuff so that they can achieve, you know, their dreams, whether that's more time with their family or, you know, whatever that's motivating them. So
making billions. It went in the wrong profession if that's
Right. Somebody asked me that, and that's the other interesting discussion. They said, do you wish you had just become an entrepreneur and not like gotten a PT degree? And I said, actually, no, because this has given me a platform and a niche.
Yeah.
Like incredibility in a sense.
Okay.
Before. So it was interesting because I thought it was an interesting question though.
Look, I have this conversation. This is sort of a weird conversation with my patients a lot. Now, imagine zombie apocalypse. Okay. People are fucking losing it. Physical therapists have some inherent value. Website builders have none, right? Like I have a patient and that's what he does. He does like, he has a software company. And I'm like, no, look, Fred, zombie apocalypse, you're screwed. If you sprain your ankle, I can help you run from the zombie faster. We have an ace in the hole, man. We've got cards to play. Other people do not. So you made the right choice just in case.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's always good. It's like, you can always be a PT, but you can keep reinventing yourself in other ways. I mean, my dad's on his fourth professional degree by now. So he's kind of crazy. It's like, you can always go. Yeah. You know, getting a doctor, being a doctor wasn't enough. Like,
right. You know, yeah. That's amazing.
Get an MBA and a JD. And anyway. Yeah. So
it's like school.
He just likes school.
No, this has been great. We finally got a chance to get you on the podcast. This will be a fun one for people to listen to. You know, and it sounds like there's just a lot of information. We'll have to set up a part two at some point. So, Christine, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. It's been great. Thanks. for having me.
You got it. Guys, this is the Peachy Entrepreneur Podcast. As always, keep listening. We'll check you later.
Hey, real quick before we go, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I'm overwhelmed with how many positive reviews we've had on iTunes so far, and we have over 100 reviews currently, and just in the last 9 months of starting this practice. The other area I'm really proud of is our PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. If you want to get involved in the conversation and not just listen to me talk to you and our guests about what's working in our businesses currently, head over to Facebook and join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. It's really simple. We'd love to have you in the community, and there's so much you can learn from everybody that's in there. I can't wait to see you there. Thanks so much for listening.